Welcome to day 165 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. Today we are reading 2 Chronicles chapters 6 and 7 and Psalm 136. This week we are reading from the Amplified Bible. So beginning at 2 Chronicles chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Then Solomon said, "The Lord has said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. I have built you a house in which the dark holy of holies seems a fitting abode for you, a place for you to dwell in forever." And the king turned his face and blessed all the assembly of Israel, and they all stood. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has fulfilled with his hands what he promised with his mouth to David my father, saying, 'Since the day that I brought my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build a house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. But I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name and the symbol of my presence might be there. And I have chosen David to be over my people Israel.' Now it was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name and renown of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to David my father, 'Since it was in your heart to build a house for my name and renown, you did well that it was in your heart. Yet you shall not build the house, but your son, who shall be born to you, he shall build the house for my name.' The Lord therefore has performed his word that he has spoken, for I have risen up in the place of David my father and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. In it have I put the ark, the symbol of his presence, in which is the covenant of the Lord, the Ten Commandments, which he made with the people of Israel." And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread forth his hands. For he had made a bronze scaffold, 5 cubits square and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court. Upon it he stood, and he knelt upon his knees before all the assembly of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven, and said, "O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in the heavens or in the earth, keeping covenant and showing mercy and loving kindness to your servants who walk before you with all their hearts. You who have kept your promises to my father David and fulfilled with your hand what you spoke with your mouth as it is today. Now therefore, O Lord, God of Israel, keep with your servant David my father that which you promised him, saying, 'There shall not fail a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, provided your children are careful to walk in my law, as you, David, have walked before me.' Now then, O Lord, God of Israel, let your word to your servant David be verified. But will God actually dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you, how much less this house which I have built. Yet have respect for the prayer of your servant and for his supplication, O Lord my God, to listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant prays before you, that your eyes may be open upon this house day and night toward the place in which you have said you would put your name and the symbol of your presence, to listen to and heed the prayer which your servant prays facing this place. So listen to and heed the requests of your servant and your people Israel, which they shall make facing this place. Hear from your dwelling place, heaven, and when you hear, forgive. If a man sins against his neighbor and he is required to take an oath, and the oath comes before your altar in this house, then hear from heaven and do, and judge your servants, requiting the wicked by bringing his conduct upon his own head, and justifying the uncompromisingly righteous by giving him according to his righteousness, his uprightness, and right standing with God. If your people Israel have been defeated before the enemy because they have sinned against you, and shall return, confess your name, and you yourself, and pray and make supplication before you in this house, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel, and bring them again to the land which you gave to them and their fathers. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you, yet if they pray toward this place, confess your name and you yourself, and turn from their sin when you afflict them, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, all of your people Israel, when you have taught them the good way in which they should walk, and send rain upon your land, which you have given to your people for an inheritance. If there is famine in the land, if there is pestilence, blight, mildew, locusts, or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in any of their cities, whatever plague or sickness there may be, then whatever prayer or supplication any man or all of your people Israel shall make, each knowing his own affliction and his own sorrow, and stretching out his hands toward this house, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and forgive, and render to every man according to all his ways, whose heart you know, for you only know men's hearts, that they may fear you and walk in your ways as long as they live in the land which you gave to our fathers. Also, concerning the stranger who is not of your people Israel, but has come from a far country for your great name's sake and your mighty power and your outstretched arm, if he comes and prays toward this house, hear from heaven, from your dwelling place, and do all for which the stranger calls to you, that all peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you reverently and worshipfully, as do your people Israel, and may know that this house which I have built is called by your name. If your people go out to war against their enemies by the way that you send them, and they pray to you facing this city Jerusalem, which you have chosen, and the house which I have built for your name, then hear from heaven their prayer and supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against you, for there is no man who does not sin, and you are angry with them and give them to enemies who take them captive to a land far or near, yet if they repent in the land to which they have been carried captive and turn and pray there, saying, "We have sinned, we have done wrong and have dealt wickedly," if they return to you with all their heart and soul in the land of their captivity, and pray facing their land which you gave to their fathers, and toward the city which you have chosen, and the house which I have built for your name, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, their prayer and supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you. Now, O my God, I beseech you, let your eyes be open and your ears attentive to the prayer offered in this temple. So now arise, O Lord God, and come into your resting place, you and the ark of your strength and power. Let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let your saints, your zealous ones, rejoice in good and in your goodness. O Lord God, turn not away the face of me, your anointed one. Earnestly remember your good deeds, mercy, and steadfast love for David, your servant. Chapter 7. When Solomon had finished praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. The priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the people of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed with their faces upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated God's house. The priests stood at their posts, and the Levites also, with instruments of music to the Lord, which King David had made to praise and give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Whenever David praised through their ministry, the priests blew trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon consecrated the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the bronze altar which he had made was not sufficient to receive the burnt offerings, the cereal offerings, and the fat. At that time, Solomon held the feast for 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great assembly, from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt. The 8th day they made a solemn assembly, for they had kept the dedication of the altar and the feast each for 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away to their homes, glad and merry in heart for the goodness that the Lord had shown to David, to Solomon, and to Israel, his people. Thus Solomon finished the Lord's house and the king's house. All that he had planned to do in the Lord's house and his own house, he accomplished successfully. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said, "I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven so no rain falls, or if I command locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek, crave, and require of necessity my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer offered in this place. For I have chosen and sanctified, set apart for holy use, this house, that my name may be here forever, and my eyes and my heart will be here perpetually. As for you, Solomon, if you will walk before me as David your father walked, and do all I have commanded you, and observe my statutes and my ordinances, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom, as I covenanted with David your father, saying, 'There shall not fail you a man to be ruler in Israel.' But if you people turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck Israel up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house, which I have hallowed for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house, which was so high, shall be an astonishment to everyone passing by. And they will say, Why has the Lord done thus to this land and to this house? Then men will say, Because they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of Egypt, and they laid hold of other gods and worshipped and served them. Therefore has he brought all this evil upon them. Psalm 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. To him who by wisdom and understanding made the heavens, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. To him who stretched out the earth upon the waters, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. To him who made the great lights, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. To him who smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. To him who divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever, but shook off and overthrew Pharaoh and his host into the Red Sea, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. To him who smote great kings, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Even a heritage to Israel, his servant, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. To him who earnestly remembered us in our low estate and imprinted us on his heart, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. And rescued us from our enemies, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. To him who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. The magnificent story of the dedication of Solomon's temple is continued in these chapters from 2 Chronicles. Probably the most outstanding part of it was the beginning, where we are told that when the king finished praying, and this is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, beginning of the chapter, when Solomon had finished praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. So we see two divine, supernatural manifestations of God's presence and God interacting, so to speak, in the affairs of men. And that is that when Solomon finished his prayer of dedication to the Lord, fire fell from heaven, consuming the burnt offering, as if God himself was answering with the affirmative, with an amen, with an I accept your offering. And then this tangible presence, or the glory of the Lord, this cloud filled the entire temple area. And the priests couldn't go inside because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And the people were so awestruck by the sight of the fire and the sight of the Shekinah glory of the Lord, they bowed with their faces on the pavement and worshiped and praised God, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever." So this is one of the most dramatic stories we find in the Old Testament of a visitation of God in the midst of his people Israel. Very beautiful, very powerful, and very symbolic as well for us as New Testament believers, that God hears, God answers, and God manifests himself in the midst of his people. And this is a very beautiful and profound story. But as we moved on in this chapter, there's something that came up that I want to bring to your attention. And it is the fact that after Solomon had finished dedicating the house of God and finished building his own house and had done all that he had planned to do, according to the word of God here, it says that the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time. You might recall the first time that the Lord appeared to Solomon. It was just after he had taken the throne and he wasn't feeling real confident. And the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "Ask me whatever you will and I will give it to you." And Solomon had the wherewithal, the wisdom to ask for God to give him a spirit of wisdom and understanding in order that he might be a good ruler for the Lord's people, Israel. And that answer pleased God so much, he gave him not only this divine wisdom that was unrivaled in his generation and even afterward, but he also gave him what he did not ask for. He gave him riches and honor, and he became the most prominent king, not only in Israel's history, but even amongst the other nations at the time of his monarchy. So here we find the Lord appearing to Solomon a second time after he has obeyed the Lord. He's built this temple. He's dedicated it. And now the Lord comes and gives Solomon some very serious counsel. And he's talking to him about if the people of Israel sin and the Lord sends some judgment as a result of that sin, the Lord tells him, "If I shut up heaven so no rain falls, or if I command locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. So he's giving him three judgment scenarios. Then he goes into the following exhortation to Solomon in verse 14 of 2 Chronicles 7. And this is a profound statement, and it shows the heart of God for his people, even when they have sinned, and his willingness when someone turns and humbles themselves, how willing God is to turn the situation around. It says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, God is speaking, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land." So God is giving Solomon some very divine instruction that if and when, and God knew it would arise, the people of Israel sin against the Lord, and they are in the midst of receiving judgment, whether it's famine because there's such a severe drought due to no rainfall, or if the locusts are devouring all their crops, or if there is some sickness or pestilence that comes among the people as divine judgment for their disobedience to the Lord, God instructs Solomon what to do and how to instruct his people. He tells them, if those people, my people, the people Israel, will humble themselves, number one, admit they have done wrong, humble themselves before God, admit that they can't, they're not in control of their own lives, but that they serve God. So number one, if they'll humble themselves. Number two, if they will pray to the Lord. Number three, if they will seek the face of God, not just pray some God help me petitions, but really seek after the Lord to hear what he has to say, to know the Lord, to be close to the Lord, to hear God's voice. If the people of God, God's people, will seek the face of God and turn from their wicked ways, turn and go in the other direction. That's one of the definitions for the word repent, turning and going in the opposite direction. So not only do they just cry, oh God, help us because we've done wrong and we're getting judgment, but they're willing to turn from the wicked things they're doing that brought on the judgment. Then the Lord tells Solomon, then I will hear from heaven. I'll listen to their prayer. And not only that, I will forgive their sin. And not only that, I will heal their land. So whatever's been affected as a direct result of that divine judgment because of sin, God says he would even heal it, even when sin was the thing that brought on the judgment. So the Lord gives Solomon some very important counsel, some wisdom into spiritual matters, and goes on to promise that he will keep his eyes open and his ears attentive to prayer that's offered in that temple. And so this is a beautiful meeting with the Lord, this second appearance of God to Solomon. What an honor, what a blessing. And yet, do you know that even such divine visitation did not keep Solomon from sin or keep him from disobeying the Lord or from wandering away from God and plunging into idolatry, which seems so almost unbelievable in light of the fact that Solomon was so favored by God, spoken to directly by the Lord appearing to him two distinct times, speaking with him, counseling him, telling him future things, telling him how to prevent problems in the nation, and if they sin, what to do and how to fix it with God, spiritually speaking. All of this, and yet we will hear in a very short order the beginning of the decline of Solomon's reign over Israel. It's a spiritual decline, major spiritual decline that we are about to hear about in the next few days. And so it's important for us to recognize how very blessed Solomon was. Blessed with the presence of God, blessed with visitations of God, blessed with hearing from God, blessed in material sense, blessed with wealth and honor and spiritual gift of wisdom that exceeded anything that had been seen on the earth to that point, and really exceeds anything that's been seen with the exception of Jesus Christ himself coming to the earth, who was filled with all wisdom and knowledge. But aside from him, there was no one that rivaled Solomon in the area of wisdom in terms of human rulers. And so we see that a man so very blessed, so very honored, so very spiritually in tune with God can, if they do not guard themselves, fall into sin and fall far from God and end up becoming an idolater, somebody who worships false gods. It seems impossible to believe from the standpoint that we are at right now in reading these amazing stories about King Solomon, where he's having visitations from the Lord, appearances of God himself, having full-on conversations, receiving counsel from God, warnings from God, advice from the Lord himself. And yet we are about to hear and watch, so to speak, through the scriptures, the decline of King Solomon. So this is an important lesson for us, that no matter how blessed we are with spiritual experiences, with visitations of the Lord, hearing God's voice, those things in and of themselves do not keep a person from falling into sin. One has to stay close to the Lord day and night and not count on, well, I had great visitation of God, I've had visions, I've had dreams, I've gotten prophetic words, I've heard God's voice. Those things do not keep you, so to speak, from sin. It's your relationship day to day, morning and evening, day and night with the Lord, and a continuous walk with God that will only keep you close to God by his grace. But we cannot count on past experiences or even extremely amazing experiences with God to keep us for the rest of our lives. We have a daily walk with the Lord. Every day we have to walk with him. Every day we have to stay in communion with him. Every day we have to stay close to him. Every day we need to speak with the Lord, pray, have time with God, repent, ask God to show us our own hearts, so that any area that we're not even aware of where we have displeased the Lord or sinned in some way, we can bring it to God. He's merciful. His mercy endures forever, as we heard over and over again from Psalm 136. But one has to keep a daily walk with God. And that's what we're going to see as we continue to study the life of Solomon, that he did not keep. He did not keep a daily walk with God. He slowly walked away. He slowly, slowly walked down a path that was not God's path. He obviously was not in touch with the Lord day in and day out, or what we are about to hear about would never have come to pass. But he undoubtedly was reliant upon words from the past, promises to his father David about him being on the throne. Even these words from the Lord and these appearances of God to Solomon. Oh, God's appeared to me. I have this relationship with God. But if you don't maintain that relationship day in and day out, it doesn't matter what happened last year, the year before, no matter how dramatic or awesome it was, your relationship with the Lord is a day by day walk. Just as it is with any friend that you may have or family member, you have to maintain close communion to continue developing and that relationship and keeping it strong and vibrant and current. God wants you to keep your relationship with him current. One of the most amazing attributes of God is His tremendous mercy, which we heard in Psalm 136 repeated again and again. And when you listen to that psalm, perhaps to you it sounds tedious to hear the words, "For His mercy and loving kindness endure forever." But to me, it is a sweet sound to my heart because it shows us that, first of all, we should give thanks to the Lord for every small and great thing, but we can say that anything we receive from the Lord is due to His mercy and His loving kindness, which endure forever. So considering that we need to keep our relationship with the Lord very day to day, day in and day out, be in touch with God. If we have fallen by the wayside, let days and weeks and even months gone by without keeping a very close relationship with the Lord, we can go back to that beautiful promise that we heard in Psalm 136. And that is that His mercy and loving kindness endure forever. So you can never feel like you cannot go to God if you've been away from God for days, weeks, months, or even years. You can draw close to the Lord again. He will with joy draw close to you because His mercy and His loving kindness endure forever. So if you have let time go by or your relationship with the Lord grow cold, draw back near to God today. Tell the Lord, "I am sorry. I don't want to be someone like Solomon who slowly drifted away from the Lord and ended up in such a terrible place." And we will hear about it soon enough. But we want to be among those people who have come back to the Lord, drawn near to the Lord, received His mercy, and stepped back into relationship with Him. You may have a relative that you've allowed time, distance, and maybe circumstances to separate you from that relative, and you feel bad. Maybe it's been years since you've even spoken. The Lord wants you to reconcile that relationship, but He also wants you to reconcile a relationship with Him if you've allowed time and circumstance and distance to separate you from the Lord. His mercy and loving kindness endure forever, and He's giving you that opportunity daily, daily, daily to come back to Him, to step back into relationship. God hasn't skipped a beat, and He will help you walk with Him once again and keep you close as long as you maintain that current close relationship with Him. The choice belongs to you. God is always willing because His mercy and loving kindness endure forever. God bless you and give you a victorious week. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. Once again, that's P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Have a victorious week.